Plans to Merge. I am your host, Caleb Porzio.
And I'm your other host, Daniel Colborne.
And today's episode is brought to you by Daniel and Caleb LLC.
Reunited once again.
That's right.
This time
we're
in
back,
business.
Baby.
How you doing, bud?
Daniel, I'm great. Briefly, I just blew my nose before recording this, and air came out of my ear.
Ooh, I like that.
I have a hole in my eardrum. Very few people know this, but I have a hole in my eardrum.
Do you have to like be careful of like meningitis or something?
No, I'm married. I'm a one man, I'm a one woman man, Daniel. Uh-huh. So I've never, there's no risk of that.
Sure.
You?
But like, can't you, like, isn't that a vector for infection through your eardrum hole?
I'm not sure. Did not know.
All right. Well,
dude, there's probably, careful. It's probably a vector for a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
I can't go in the water upside down.
Really?
Or under like 3 feet deep, lest I get an ear, an inner ear full of water.
Gross water.
Yeah. I've had like
And then that would be the cause of meningitis.
Yes. I've had like wicked ear infections from ponds and lakes getting in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So sure.
Yeah, that seems rough.
But
seems rough and dangerous.
I can blow air out of it.
Yeah, that is also cool.
Isn't that crazy? You hear literally, mm-hmm. It's like hearing air leave your ear.
I can do that too, though.
Really?
But I think it's just going through my sinuses. Like, I guess I don't hear it leave. I just kind of hear it like puff up.
No, yeah. It's leaving. You're hearing it leave.
Yeah. That's crazy.
That's what it sounds like. So that's my story, Daniel.
Nice.
Daniel,
dude, how you been?
It's been a hot minute.
How you been?
Oh, Daniel.
Yeah, when last we spoke, I was in Amsterdam. But when last we spoke in front of the listener, I don't even know.
Years.
Dude.
Since we've spoke, you've gone.
People keep doing bits to me about how we don't do this podcast anymore.
You know, I was just reminded, like when we were at Laricon, more people came up to me and were like, I listen to No Plans to Merge than mm-hmm. pretty much anything else. You know,
yeah, dude.
Than like
we have the deepest roots with this.
Which is so weird that we never do it, you know?
Yeah. I know, it's funny. It's like our main thing, but
it's our main thing and we don't do
it. We did other things and those take up more time.
Yeah. It's true. You know, you went off and built a business.
A business.
What else can we meander about, Daniel?
Mm. Do you ever listen to the Sleep With Me podcast with Dear Scooter?
No.
Okay, there's a podcast called Sleep With Me, and the whole point of the podcast is that you're supposed to put it on if you're having a hard time falling asleep.
Okay.
And he tells like stories, but they never conclude, and he just kind of like goes from one topic to another and like doesn't really like... It's purposefully designed so there's not very much for your brain to like grab onto, but he is talking, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But he says it's a show of pointless meanders, I think is what he says. But
yeah. You listen to a lot of podcasts, Daniel. Yes?
I actually don't listen to a lot of podcasts right now, but I have listened to an obscene number of
Interesting.
Podcasts.
Interesting. Why don't you listen to a lot of podcasts right now?
Because I'm on calls all the time. When I used to just like head down code, it was easy for me to like listen to podcasts while I was writing code.
See, that's weird to me.
Yeah,
I've only done that a few times, but you have to really be like tuned out of your code or the podcast.
Yeah,
you know,
and I think the way that my brain operates, like if it's not like if there's not like a second thing for it to be ignoring, then it has a hard time focusing on the first thing.
That's funny.
Yeah. You know, like if my brain really wants to be not focusing on something, so you have to give it something else to not focus on so that it can focus on the thing.
Right.
That you want to focus on.
It makes good sense. Okay. Yeah. So Sleep With Me podcasting. Yeah. You know, that's that. Yeah. Daniel, I didn't even write down a list of random stuff because the list would be so giant. It would be.
We don't even have.
Five
it's
months,
impossible.
10, 12 months of...
Who knows?
Of nuggets.
Yeah.
Of random
stuff.
So
I just saw your boy.
The baby.
Your boy was so large.
So large. He's lengthy and he's, and a he's boy,
got like he's got he's one of those man. Heads where like it's like biggest at the top.
I can't you know? See the shape of his head because I see him every day. So
it's he's like, got kind of a head like a guitar pick a little bit.
Really?
Yeah, where that it's like kind a of a small genius. Chin. Yeah, he does look smart just from the shape the of the head.
The dude is actually straight up brilliant, so that actually makes a lot of sense.
What's his smartest thing?
What's his smartest thing? Good question. I should have this at the ready. He, I mean, he just has like a photographic memory, it seems. Like he just talks like a baby, but then he'll just say something and you realize what he means and you're like, holy crap, that was like 5 months ago. That one time mm-hmm. I said that one thing and now you recall it back like that. But we honestly, like every kid thinks their parents a genius, you know, and I'm right in there with them. Mm-hmm. I the moment I learned he was a genius, he's this little nothing dude, can't talk, nothing, barely can talk, can say like mama and dada maybe.
Yeah.
And we're reading him these books that we read him all the time. He loves to read. It's like his favorite thing. So yeah. He's a massive little bookworm guy, but just like baby books. Mm-hmm. We're flipping through and then I just like stop. Like right before finishing a sentence and he finishes it. And so I did it on the next page and he did it again. He did it again and again. And it really went from my kid
knows the whole book.
Two words to my kid knows every book I read him. And I was like cracking up hysterically. Like I was like, Hannah, we have a genius baby. And maybe relative to others, he's a genius or not. But in that moment, it was like, that was actually one of those, there's so much like, you know, drudgery of like fatherhood, but that was mm-hmm. one of the moments. Those are a few of them where it's like, you're laughing at the account. Real quick. When I used to take guitar lessons, we talked about this. I think I would laugh when, the guitar teacher would shred. Like if they mm-hmm. would go and like do something wild.
Yeah,
I would laugh. I couldn't help it. I was so delighted and joy. It was like just the joy of witnessing this person.
Someone crushing.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It was nuts. And I love that feeling. This was that feeling of just like
excellent
laughing at how cool it is. And since, so then we got used to that. But since he's done a few, there was a recent one where I'm like, the kid, he can talk like, listen to me brag about my baby on the podcast. He knows his colors and his shapes and he can count to 10 and he's like not 2 years old. He's like mm-hmm. a little over a year and a half. So mm-hmm. he's like light years beyond these other little kids with their, you know, drooling and got their hands in their mouth. He's right there with him to be fair, but he definitely has a good brain. His little friend, Hazel, she mm-hmm. can lap him. She makes him, we think he's advanced. He goes over Hazel's house and we're like, our kid is slow. Like he can't even climb a little ladder thing that she clearly can do, you know, easily.
Yeah.
But uh-huh. Hazel can say like 5 words, you know, and yeah. River's like, how are you today? Like he speaks an English accent.
He's a talker.
So, anyway. I honestly think that River is really smart, but who knows?
I believe it.
I think every kid, every parent probably
thinks that. Well, I look forward to his pull requests with great anticipation.
I know. Me too.
Dude, can you imagine like how weird it would be if like one day your son made a pull request to Livewire?
And it was like
a without telling you. And like, and then you're like going through your pull requests and it's like, yo, wait. I made Livewire first, and then I made you, and then now you're pull requesting to Livewire.
It would be wild.
Yeah.
I do wonder. I mean, we're so far from that, but I wonder what the programming
is. He could be smart enough to make a pull request
like,
by the time he's 8.
He could make a pull. I mean, what kind of pull request are we talking? It's like a docs fix? Because he could make
it's
going to
be a docs fix, I think. Maybe a failing test.
His first pull request is just so he can get a t-shirt from DigitalOcean.
Hacktoberfest.
That's already an old joke.
Rip. That's a really old joke, yeah.
Daniel. You know, Daniel, we've been around and seen
I was
things
about to
come
say,
and go.
I was about to say, like, I keep remembering that I'm an old programmer now. And there's all these young programmers.
It's true. We've seen things come and go. And I recently thought of one little ism that was like, oh, like they don't know what that is. you know, I forget what it was, but I don't know. We're definitely,
I think anytime I think of like a CSS thing, I'm like, oh wait, no one writes CSS anymore. It was like, you know, I'll say like margin, margin zero auto or something. And it's like, well, they all just know MX auto.
Right.
Like, you know, cause you don't have to do the zero anymore.
Knowing CSS is like, I mean, it is like, we live in this world. Like imagine you go back to
float
your
clear
8 years ago, 10, 12. Yeah, of course.
Float left. Oh.
You go back to that person and you say, I am from the future. And if you go on CSS tricks, nobody's written an article in however many months. And
well, you know why,
DigitalOcean owns it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And DigitalOcean owns it. And Scotch, DigitalOcean owns Scotch as well. You'd be like, DigitalOcean is this like behemoth.
They bought up all the blogs and
then they destroyed them all. It would be wild. And everybody's using, I mean, I wouldn't obviously know what VS Code. Everybody's using Visual Studio. All the people with Macs are using Visual Studio. I'd be like, what?
Oh my God.
And
to write a new language called Rust built by Mozilla.
Right. And in this new world, what else? I mean, in this new world, I mean, there was a timeline where it's like, in this new world, everybody's using utility atomic CSS. But like, what? No. You're crazy.
And none of us or any of our friends really write very much JavaScript at all anymore. We've just all sort of opted out.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. No one is using Redux. Redux is over.
Oh, that's funny. Right. Oh, man. I mean, there's so many of those things that have come and gone. Pretty much anything that made you feel like you were behind at one point, you could just ignore, then eventually like it will have just gone away, you know, and you're back ahead. It's like, oh yeah. What are those?
Yeah,
I mean, even in Laravel, like let's dig them up. What are all the things? Even recently, what are the fads?
Well, remember what was that package? I think about this all the time. There was that package that we all used for a while to create like JSON responses.
Oh.
What the hell was it?
I don't know. Like before, I mean, obviously, I definitely remember the era of like needing, and this was in the SPA era because this is when it became like, okay, Taylor, like we can't just keep returning like arrays and have them turn into JSON. We need something more. We need resources, Taylor.
And there, well, this is before JSON resources. So JSON resources killed this thing,
exactly.
But I forget what it was
called.
And I'm
trying to remember that too. And I don't remember. Oh, it's like on the tip of my tongue, dude.
Me too. I think it started with an F.
Oh, like, I think you're right.
I think it was like,
what was
not facade, not factory, but something.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's like so fuzzy, but there, it feels like, doctrine to me. Like at that time was like,
you remember there was and I honestly, like, I was always the one at Titan who was like, believed that things from the outside world were going to become a big thing, and everyone was like, eh, it's not gonna matter.
Yeah.
But like, I remember thinking like, we need to get into GraphQL now before we get left behind.
Yeah. Right. And
we didn't.
Yeah. NoSQL. That
not
was
important.
Like huge.
Oh, NoSQL, yeah.
NoSQL. I mean, that's different than GraphQL. I just forgot that for a second. But that's a whole other
There's
one.
There's a lot of stuff.
Mongo and NoSQL is like, how does this even like fit into our like thing? And you know, are we like antiquated with our that was? There's so many moments where it's like, oh yeah, this is cool again. And there was a moment with relational databases where it's like, oh, relational databases are cool again. You know?
Yeah. Well, I think it's like when you like something becomes so cool, and then it's like, wait, hold on a second. Like a third of my revenue goes to paying for my Mongo database.
Yeah.
Like. Maybe it's not that cool.
Right. Yeah.
I feel like that's how all these JavaScript kids are going to be when they realize that like a third of their company's revenue goes to Clerk or whatever.
Right. It is something, man. Like when everything's so like productized. But I mean, maybe it's fine. But
it's not.
It's probably not. So many. I mean, serverless is there you go. That's another one. It's like.
Yeah, but at least like I get serverless, like I get the bit there.
Yeah.
Which is like, there is like a tangible benefit to like Yeah, my thing is as big or small as it needs to be at any given point.
Yep.
But like the tangible benefit to like, I'm going to pay some random company to like authenticate my users.
Yeah.
And like, what the hell?
Yep. It's true. Like we like to dunk on DHH from time to time, right? Like he's like just him alone, all the opportunities to say like, there will come a day you come to my old, there will come a day where you see a tweet with DHH with a MacBook knockoff, a PC MacBook knockoff on his desk running NeoVim that's
custom, in Windows,
in Windows. And telling us it's cool with his Android phone. And telling us it's cool.
Because he's mad at Apple.
And the dude will have servers in his closet telling you that SaaS is not cool, even though he runs a SaaS app, yeah, and all of his revenue is from SaaS.
So rich because of his SaaS app.
Even though SaaS has made him so rich. And but he, I mean, the one part that I do kind of want to tease him about, because I love people. He's always the shaker upper. I love people to shake it up. I love following the story. It makes sense. I actually, there were a few things when I moved from Android to iPhone. I'm a super late holdout, and I moved and I'm like, this keyboard sucks. I still think it sucks. The autocomplete is horrible. It always gets it wrong. And
are you swiping or no?
Swipe. Yeah. I'm a swiper, and Android was incredibly good and knew everything I ever wanted to say. And Apple, like iPhone, just thinks the wrong things all the time. But anyway, things like that. DHH, his whole once software thing, you know, the whole like once thing,
so
where
stupid.
He's like,
so
it's like their big proclamation about like, own
so
your software. We're going to ship you AOL discs and you're going to love it. It's going to be great. And then they're like, they do their big product launch, you know, of what, Campfire? Is it? It's like, it worked.
Which is
we
literally
made
a product they built the, 10 years ago.
Right. They hold the pinky up to their mouth. Okay. So the most people who bought this product bought it for the code base, just to look at DHH's code base, right? And still, he holds the beer's big company, big launch, a lot of work, a lot of holds his pinky up to and goes, we made $250,000 on a launch. And I'm like, dude, I could have made a course and made more than that. Like, what are you saying? Like, how are you not DJ retracting everything bad you said about SaaS? Like,
yo, there's a whole group of these guys who are kind of like venerated hackermans, who I think they're like washed up, dude. And I think DHH is fully washed up.
I don't know. I mean, I'm always holding on to the DHH like wagon because he's smart. But yeah, dude, there's some things.
But
where
remember,
you're like,
remember, Rails is nice because DHH is nice.
Sure. Right. Right. Yeah.
Like, no, he's not. He's not nice.
Well, everybody knew he wasn't nice. He's so like, you just watch him go on stage and like swear at you for an hour, and you're like, I'm not following this guy because he's nice.
Yeah.
So that part made sense. You're like, oh yeah, I mean, it would make
sense. But have you been following the Peter Levels cognitive behavioral therapy AI bot?
Of course, yeah.
Dude, what the hell?
That's that is funny. I mean, I like that because it's like, I mean, it's good to see somebody like him fumble publicly. Because I mean,
it's just so funny because he's just ignoring all of the comments in his responses. Yeah, you're like, someone's gonna kill themselves because
of this. I know.
He's like,
it is.
He's like, but how much do you think I could charge? Is what I'm saying.
That is a funny one to watch, and I say just to clarify that it's funny to watch it publicly or fun to watch publicly because he wins so often, and it's like he hasn't lost in a while.
Yeah.
And to see him like believe in it and have to be like, I mean, I guess I'll just move on if I have to, but like really nobody wants to buy this thing.
Yeah, nobody wants like a robot that I made to tell them to not kill themselves.
Yeah, that is weird. It's like the obvious, like, you know, people are like, this is like,
it's like, hey, what do you think robots are worst at? It's like, I don't know, maybe like empathy.
Somebody did post something today about like, maybe it was a retweet of his thing of the dream of like an AI that is trained on every whatever and like talks to you and like makes you better and the net good it could do. And then, I mean, there's truth to it, but yeah, I mean, just to have, especially right now, like it is pretty funny but you know, he just tries stuff. So, I mean, I have no shame in that.
So can we talk about like building businesses around AI real quick?
Because like,
you build stuff, I build stuff, right? Like, we both know how to build things.
Yeah.
I cannot, for the life of me, come up with a business I think I would invest literally any time or money in building at all that was AI based.
I got one.
You got one?
Yeah.
Talk to me.
I think this would be really good if you could do it well. Well, by the way,
this is the thing. The if you can do it well thing is the whole fucking crux of it. Because you can't. Because you can't control the output. It's just going to be some complete nightmare.
I paid for Peter's, not the avatar, you know, the model thing where you like create a model of yourself and have it put on like clothes and stuff.
Yeah. Image is a different thing.
Okay. Cause that was useful. I needed it for a minute. I wanted to see how I looked in like a certain vibe. And so I just started making like images of myself. It's like, dude, mm-hmm. you're cool looking. Like, so and then I bought some clothes because of that for Lyricon. I was like, I gotta be like less dorky and I paid for his AI thing and it was great. And I also,
oh, is that why you bought those J's?
What are J's?
Jordans?
Yeah, see, I've told you, I'm not like, I'm just faking. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I noted that you were wearing some nice J's.
Yeah, yeah. And my brother brought me J's from Africa. He still claims that they're legit. I'm like, dude,
that they're real.
He literally went to a warehouse in Rwanda and paid $25 for these pair of shoes. Real. I appreciate the gesture, and they're cool shoes, but they're like original, you know, Dort, whatever. He like still, I'm like with him the other day. He came down to Florida. We're skateboarding of all things. It's pretty fun. And we're skateboarding and he's got these, he fell and like scuffed up his shoe. He didn't really care, but he's like, dude, these are like $1,000. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, these shoes, man, people have told me that like, I'm like, dude, these Rwandan $25. It's some like custom, whatever, like rare Jordan, but obviously it's like a ripoff. But kudos to the Africans. They're really good ripoffs. Like, you know, I mean, you can't tell. So anyway, I'm sorry to take you down there. Yeah, Jordans, J's, cool.
Peter levels. We're popping the stack.
So let's pop back up. Yeah, let's pop the stack in the while loop. Get back to where we were. We're talking about AI stuff that's actually good. The other thing that I think is, oh, somebody actually reached out to me. They were building a house AI thing, like a landscape AI. You upload a picture of your house and it like renovates your house. And I was like, sure, I'll try it out. Whatever. Uploaded my house picture. And they published, they doxed me. So that was a bummer. I'm just kidding. I was like, so, but I did the house makeover and was like, oh, I should do that. It's like, this looks awesome. I should totally do that, which was cool. So that kind of stuff I think is awesome. And the interior AI stuff and Peter's interior AI is awesome.
Uh-huh. Okay. I think visual stuff is much more advanced. But yes, like,
but I do have one still.
Okay, talk to me.
Travel planning sucks so hard. If I could go to a text-based AI and tell them, like, I just want to be able to talk to somebody who can look up flights for me and compare stuff. Like, I want to be able to just literally be like, I want to go here these dates. Can you go to every portal and learn everything about these dates?
No, all this stuff is great.
That's great though, right?
Yeah, it's great, but it's impossible. That's the problem. This is the thing. Everything that's good, everyone says like, oh, but what if it could do this? But it can't, right? And it's like the whole like agents stuff where it's like, oh, it's going to like browse the web for you and do things for you. But it's like, yeah, but I don't trust it. Right.
Sure.
So it's like, what I want is like I would give a teenager my credit card and say, hey, go book the best, cheapest flight between these dates using these websites. And they would do it. Mm-hmm. I would give that to an AI and it would somehow book me like a $12,000 flight that like, that had a connection in an airport across town, you know, like
maybe, I don't know. I don't feel necessarily the same way.
I just feel like,
what are good examples of bad AI besides CBT?
Just recently, a car dealership had like an AI chatbot that, sadly made a legally binding agreement to sell a car for a dollar.
That's right?
It's like, these things are great as long as there are like no consequences to their action. But if there's no consequences to their action, then there's no power. in their action, because they can't do anything meaningful, because if they did, they might fuck it up.
Right. That, I mean, that is the big con of them right now, is that because they have to be so nerfed, they suck.
Like, yeah.
It would be really nice if you could actually get ChatGPT to like give you, I don't know, just to be harder, you know, like don't be so freaking soft all the time.
I don't even think that's like the issue for me. Like I feel like the issue for me is just
like I can't ask it. Go ahead.
Well, it's just like, okay, whatever, say travel planning, right?
Yeah.
Travel planning is great, but I would just like the ways that they misunderstand things are so like, I don't know, they're just kind of like so weird where like you might not notice that they misunderstood, and like they sure. might make an assumption based on a misunderstanding a while ago that led to them
double like, down on,
where it's like, okay, your flight gets into Atlanta on Thursday, and then your connecting flight leaves Atlanta on Thursday next year.
Right.
And you're like, whoa, hold on, no, hold on.
See,
what?
Like, I mean, that's the thing. To be clear, I don't need it to book me anything.
Yeah.
I need it to just save me the time of, you know, and yeah, whatever. I think I can, it can still be super useful to me for travel planning. But to your point, here's like an area of AI. Here's why ChatGPT is so much less useful to me, because of its nerfing. Obviously, mm-hmm. I can't tell it to like write me something that is dangerous or is like racist mm-hmm. or something, but
sucks.
There are sucks. There are which
write me something dangerous and racist. Clear, bro.
Sucks. So ChatGPT, have you ever wanted like health stuff specifically? I want to know, like, let's say, can I don't know, put a nail in that hole in my ear? Like, could I take some sandpaper and like reopen the wound to get it to like bleed and heal over again, to try to like close up the, you know? And ChatGPT mm-hmm. could be useful to me if it let itself, you know? But instead mm-hmm. it'll be like, I can't tell you to stick anything in your ear. Like, sorry, mm-hmm. you know? There's so much of that that's like, can you please go with me here and just do this hypothetical for a minute about like sawing off my own leg? Like,
yeah,
because I'm like, I have a saw and my leg's half sawed off. Don't bail on me now. Like, what is literally the fastest way to finish sawing off the leg or something like that? And I'll be mm-hmm. like, I can't tell you to saw off your leg. It's like, you could be so useful to me if you were, you know, do you ever find yourself yeah. in this scenario where you're like, you could help
me? I don't really talk to the robot.
Okay. That's your issue.
You know, I just like, it doesn't do anything for me. You know what it was really good for was learning Rust. It was really good for learning Rust.
Yeah, we've talked about this. Like learning new languages and saying like, what is the Rust equivalent of this bit of code in PHP?
Yeah, or like, here's my code. Here's how it's not working.
Yeah.
What's wrong? And it will just tell you.
And it is like, true. That is a fantastic use of it. ChatGPT as a paraprogrammer is like good and horrible. And I think the best example of it being horrible is like, try to get it to write you Chart.js code. Mm-hmm. And this perfectly exemplifies like one of the biggest difficulties is Chart.js is the most like configuration heavy project ever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And between versions, those configuration options change. ChatGPT mm-hmm. can't keep it straight. It just mm-hmm. can't for the life of it keep it straight mm-hmm. with versions. And that's one of the biggest hurdles, I think, for chat and other stuff like that. It's like, that's the last version's option. And you tell it, like, do the new ones. And it's like, okay, here's the new ones. But then it's mixing in the old ones all the time.
Or like, so Verbs, like, is not popular enough for it to know a lot about it, right?
Yeah.
And so I'll, like, you know, I'll give it, like, the entire code base, including all the docs repo stuff and everything. And I'll be like, okay, here's Verbs. Now, like, here's a thing I'm trying to do in Verbs. Can you do it for me?
Yeah.
And it will like write some code that's almost good, but not quite. Yeah. And it'll ignore a specific instruction I gave it. And I'll be, and then I'll just say like, are you sure that you did this thing? And it said, oh my God, I'm so sorry. No, I didn't. Now,
well, let me do it again.
Every time you ask it, if it's sure, it fucks it up in like a new and right. innovative way. And it's like, what's like,
right. I like try not to get in that zone. Cause once it like starts like second guessing itself,
then yeah, like, it starts melting
start
down
over here, dude. Cause like, yeah. you do not have the confidence to like deal with me right now. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I need you to commit a sin boldly.
Right. They're some of the most angriest I've ever been at a robot is asking ChatGPT for one word suggestions for like a variable name or something. And it's like stuck giving me two words. And I'm like, one word, please. And then it's like,
dude, yeah, it like, feels like there's like a missing step where it runs its answer through itself to see if it did what you asked it to do.
Totally. It's like, I know. Yes.
That's, like, that's it seems like it step. Could do that. It could just say like, okay, now take the thing you're about to output.
I
could,
if I copied these words and said, how many words are in this word? It would say two words, you know?
Yeah.
Like for sure.
Right. Like, yeah, that stuff is crazy.
Yeah, so stupid. The robots are stupid. But honestly, I think it's crazy how fast we've acclimated to ChatGPT, at least I have. And now it's just like, oh, I don't even think this is cool. This is just, there was a time where all I wanted to do was sit there and dream about like stuff I could feed into this thing. And now I'm just like, oh, yeah, there it is. You know.
Now, Charlotte did use it to generate a, like a, activity plan for a kid.
Oh, like, that's cool.
For her occupational therapy work. Like she needed to generate an activity plan for a kid who had very specific problems. And she was like, here's a kid. He's got these problems. I'm an occupational therapist. I need to design an activity. Like, give me some options. And dude, it gave like great options with like highly specific instructions. And like, it was really good.
Nice. I teach so her. That type
of, I think it's just like, if you're really technical and like specificity matters a lot in what you do, which we are, and it does.
Right.
Like,
it's not as good.
Then it's a bigger problem.
Yes. And especially if it's like a path well carved, like education.
Yeah.
My sister's a teacher and she's in grad school and she was doing something. And I was just like, Pekka, ChatGPT, duh. And she's like, what? I was like, are you kidding me? What is wrong with you? And it was a lesson plan thing for like a mock lesson plan for something in grad school or whatever. I'm like, just ask it, and it's like boop, you know, done, perfect, amazing. And it's even written in the corny style that like they're having you write these papers and stuff.
Yeah,
that's the biggest, like, I have only recently become acutely aware of, like, I've only recently really started getting the nose for non-native speakers using ChatGPT to communicate.
Oh, interesting.
And now I'm starting to see it everywhere. Like once I was like, oh, I wouldn't have caught that before, but you can catch it. A lot of my support emails are ChatGPT. So a lot of people, when they message me, it like starts off with praise and then it's just like ChatGPT being ChatGPT. And then on Twitter, you see it all the time. And now I see, all these, every popular tweet, all of these replies are just bots.
Dude, I know.
They're all bots, dude. It's crazy. Dude.
It's so rough.
I'm just lucky that I'm not like, my tweets aren't big enough to get botted that hard.
Yeah.
But you look at popular tweets and it's like the first response
they're botted to death,
is just somebody fed in this tweet and asked ChatGPT to reply. And all they did was reiterate it in some like bogus way, you know?
Yeah. No, it's getting weird
so
out
weird.
There, man.
It's getting weird. The bots, man. Yeah. A lot of bots. But here's another thing that we lived through, Daniel. Twitter. It's still useful and we're all still on it.
Yeah, that is weird. So it's getting less useful.
I think. All right, let's talk about it.
It's just getting messier.
Twitter's a good thing to talk about.
It's just getting messier, dude.
In what way?
It's just like the signal to noise ratio.
Yeah. Most of the time I open Twitter, I'm like almost angry as I open it. Like, I'm just like, all right, I'm going to go and I'm going to read nothing by so many people. You know, it's just going to be BS the entire time. Yes, I do feel this way.
I do find new people who I'm interested in knowing about, which is good. That's what you want Twitter to do for you, is like introduce you to people you care to know about.
Mm-hmm.
And like cool things that you didn't know existed. And then you want to like hear updates from the people you care about. But like, it just feels like I have to wait. Like, it's just, I don't know. Like, I just feel like there's like so much random, like, oh, a guy just got hit by a motorcycle and decapitated in between
yeah, you
like
gotta, oh,
Joe Tannenbaum's
brutal.
New SSH UI
yeah.
and John's post about product management. I saw a guy get decapitated by a motorcycle.
That stuff ebbs and flows for me. Sometimes I forget that that's the experience of Twitter for a lot of people. And then all of a sudden it's like, wait, what? Yeah. That stuff is brutal and horrible. And I can't, like, why the hell does this crazy clips garbage like end up back in my timeline? I try to just like move past it so fast so that like no algorithm thinks I care about this at all.
And that's the thing. It's like, that's the thing I think that I don't like about it the most now is that I feel like I have to treat it like TikTok in that, like,
yeah,
I'm trying to train an algorithm.
Yeah.
And like with TikTok, that's what you sign up for. Like, that's the whole game of TikTok is like train this algorithm.
Right. Yeah.
I don't want to do that on Twitter.
I know. Twitter, you want to be a feed of
and it's
the
very much,
follow,
it's
yeah.
honestly, it's very much like my complaints with AI, which is that like you can't give it specific instructions and get back exactly what you want. You have to kind of like hope that some combination of incantations that you're doing with like your scrolling speed and your, you know, what you hovered over is going to like lead to it giving you the things that you want in the future.
True. YouTube, I'm like pretty frustrated with as well that it's just so, it's pretty much like JRE type clips of like any, all of those types of podcasts, Lex clips, you know, those clips, it's a lot. I mean, this is my own fault. It's a lot of hustle culture crap. As soon as you click on one video that's like, we went to Palm Beach and asked billionaires how they made their money. You know, you watch one of those videos,
Noah Kagan,
you're over. Yeah, no. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I just bought his book actually, so that's on me. that's on me. His book is on my desk. You know what's so weird, dude? I am more. This stuff is garbage, and I resent it so much. But so many times, I'm like, let's hear this out. Like, okay, it's BS.
Of course.
It's click garbage. You're garbage for doing it. Everything.
And no
about
billionaire
it,
knows why they're rich. Let's get real.
Sure, right. It's like, this entire thing is BS and I hate it all. But I'm going to click on it.
But yeah, I'm here.
Because,
you know,
because like,
what am I
going to
sit with my own thoughts?
But yay. But they're going to interview a guy. And that guy is going to say, he's going to give specifics to some level. And he might say, oh, you know, shipping. And it's like, that data point is actually helpful for me. So that's why I end up in this place where it's like this, all this BS constantly, but it's like, well,
yeah. Dude, here's the thing. So here's what my YouTube is made up of. It's some Lex shit.
Yeah.
I think it's actually learned that I like Lex more than Joe Rogan. So I don't actually get a lot of Joe Rogan shit.
You know, he's the best, right? Like that's a
Lex?
Given, right? Is there? Yeah.
So I've actually kind of recently soured a little bit on Lex because I think he's kind of a pushover and I'm realizing how played he gets by his guests.
Yeah. I mean, he addresses that and whatever. He's like, he doesn't want to put him on the defense. And that's like, I mean, I generally act that way myself. Like if I'm,
I would rather
him not put Tucker Carlson on the defense, you know, but whatever. Okay.
No, it's not that. It's just like, I think it leads to kind of boring conversations.
Maybe.
Because it's like, it really feels like he's just like throwing softballs at people.
Really? Yeah, but then he'll just be like, oh yeah, I read that in like Brothers Karamazov 2 or something. And you're like
yeah,
oh
right.
Yeah, dude, you're freaking like, I'm like, I'm glad that you're the guy interviewing Jeff Bezos or whatever. Like, do your homework. You're really smart. You know a lot. Like, you can talk about space.
Yeah, I watch
and
all the shit. I watch all the lecture.
So you know.
I just like, yeah. I just, you know.
He's probably the best one of them. You know.
Sure, for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely, I prefer him to a lot of the other guys.
Yeah.
So it's that. It's poker stuff. It's RuneScape stuff. That's what's on my YouTube. But yeah, I don't know. I'm a little over training algorithms, TBH.
Yeah. I get like so angry at YouTube that it won't just like, it's the recommendations are so they're not weighted towards my subscriptions, you know? It's like, why don't you weight these things? Like, yeah, I'm going to follow this algorithmic rabbit hole you're taking me down, but like, can you please just bring me back out of it for a minute and show me primitive technology and, you know, woodworking videos and stuff? Cause like I hit subscribe on that. Like you should be honoring that, you know?
Yeah. Or even like, hey, like, I know that there's like a lot more poker content on YouTube than the things that I've subscribed to, but I subscribe to these ones because I like these ones.
Right.
And I don't want to see just every guy who plays poker on YouTube.
Yeah.
Like, that's not what I'm here for. I like Bart Hansen. I don't want to see like every fucking random poker vlogger being like, today I played in the biggest 5-10 game in Vegas. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I don't give a shit, dude. You know?
YouTube culture, YouTubers, the whole YouTube thing is so weird because I both adore it and despise it at the same time. I both want to be them and I hate them.
Yep.
And it's like, I don't want to be you. I do want to be you. I love you. I don't love you. You know? Yeah. I mean, it's part of it's like the Mr. Beastification, obviously, but yeah, I don't know. It's
I kind of like Mr. Beast more than anyone else who is trying to be Mr. Beast.
100%. I still like Mr. Beast. Like I watch the Mr. Beast videos. I've only grown to like him more. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. But
okay. So Caleb,
Daniel,
we're going to the same Laracon. We're going to do a talk at a Laracon together.
We are. And unfortunately it's not together. But I've long had the dream that I think it would be really awesome for you and I to do a talk together, together.
Oh, a together, together talk.
Yeah. Like how fun would that be?
That would be a blast. And it could be like totally off of our topics and just something random.
Oh, it'd be great. I even thought I'm like early thinking about my talk and I don't want to make it a typing heavy talk, but it would be nice to. And I was like, I wonder if Daniel just live code it for me. Just like,
well, I've live coded one time and it didn't go great.
Okay, don't hire Daniel the life coach. But I honestly would love to be on stage with you because I think it would be so much fun.
That would be so fun, dude.
It would be so much fun, man.
It would be so fun.
And that would be uncharted territory.
We have to do a live No Plans to Merge sometime.
Agreed. Yeah, like we have to do a lot of things. And we bailed on, by the way, everybody looking forward to LiveWireCon. It's off.
It never officially went off.
Well, it was partially because of our laziness and partially because of other external circumstances, but it is, that ship has sailed for now, but maybe
for
not,
this year.
Maybe not next year. Maybe next year would be pretty sweet.
Maybe next year.
Here's a thought that I've been having, Daniel. So I read the book, the E-Myth Revisited, you know, this like corny business book.
Yep. I'm familiar.
Yep. And in it, there's like, you know, the first step in making your like franchise development plan model program business TM is defining your primary aim, you know, TM, make sure you capitalize primary aim. They own that word. Finalize, you know, your primary aim. And that is like, what do you want for your life?
Yeah.
Obvious question, simple thing to think about when you think about your life. But as a business owner, it's like, how do you want this?
What kind of life? What is the chief end of man?
Yeah. And I think I've actually defined it recently, like it just occurred to me in a way that I think makes me instantly go, yeah, that is what I want out of my business for my life.
Go on.
Do you know what it is, Daniel? Okay, so it's obviously,
I don't.
Here are answers that I think are bad. Money. You can't eat. That could be your 100% aim, fine, but you can't say it because it's not interesting, you know? It's not going to bring anything out. You also can't say like freedom because, you know, and they're supposed to and whatnot. But I honestly, I think all these answers are too wishy-washy to do anything, to get you to do anything useful, right?
Right.
Here's my answer. To maximize how much fun I have in my real life with people around me.
Yes.
Which is something that it's not doing for me at all right now. But I would actually love it if my... somehow my business, like, let's just say like one weird example is I tried to do this with playing the synthesizer in the LiveWire video. Like, let's say it becomes Caleb culture to like in the LiveWire videos, I play a synthesizer with a friend And it's like that forcing me to do that in my real life, that achieves that objective, you know? Mm-hmm. And maybe it's, you know, it's so easy. The path to having maximum fun in your personal life, being like a YouTuber and influencer, is so clear. It's like, just do stunty type stuff in your life. Like I invited 10 of my friends over and we all ate, you know, we did the Hot Ones challenge or something. Like that's awesome. But being an open source maintainer, it's like no path, no obvious path. But a live, no plans to merge, live events, things like that. Totally check that box. So I don't know. That's been a recent thing of mine, is like, if my business could make me have more friends and closer relationships that are more fun and have more fun in my everyday life, then that's a huge win, you know? What do you think?
I like it. I mean, so to me, it's like, it was funny. John was here in Asheville not long ago. And he was just like sitting, we were all sitting in our living room, me, him, and Charlotte. And he was just like, yo, if you got your number, you know, of money.
Yeah.
What is like a stupid thing you would do? Like, you know, like Taylor and all those guys are talking about their Lambos and stuff. But like, you know, like what's the stupid thing you're going to do with a lot of money if you got it?
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And we were all talking about it, and it was all like, we had all these like annoyingly practical things. Which were like, oh, I'd buy a house, whatever. But like, my only good one I could come up with was like, I would buy like some really, really stupidly expensive jeans, because I really like nice jeans and they like feel awesome and stuff. But really, truly, like the thing that, and like, this is, I think, what's like tied up in the whole like freedom conversation, is like, I would like to avoid all of the parts of life that are drudgery.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's like, a good one.
To me, like, that's the benefit of, like,
so
a successful business.
Doing
dishes,
making food, cleaning your room.
Making food when you don't want to make food.
Yes. Right.
Right? If that's the whole
cooking
thing.
Is like, awesome.
Everything rules when you want to do it.
Yeah, it's true.
You know? If I only want to do things when I want to do them.
Yeah.
And the things that I don't want to do.
You know what? That's.
But then sometimes you do want to do something you don't want to do.
Sometimes what?
Sometimes you want to do something you don't want to do.
I don't understand. There's value in doing things you don't want to do, or there's times where you realize
it's like
you're glad you're doing.
It's fulfilling. Yeah,
oh, it's
fulfilling to do things you don't want to do.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's almost always. Okay. I would say 98% of the time it's stupid and it was annoying that you had to do it in the first place.
I mean, to me, this is mowing my lawn. Every time I am mowing my lawn, I'm going, this is awesome. I feel like I'm out and about. I'm waving to neighbors. I'm connecting with the earth. It's like meditative. This is great. But then as soon as I'm done, I never want to do it again. And then I don't want to do it until the minute I'm doing it. And then I'm glad. No. And then when you're done, you're glad you did it. You love it when you're doing it. You're glad when you're done. Like, that was awesome. And then until next time. And then you're just like, please don't make me mow the lawn. I hate mowing the lawn, you know?
Yeah.
But that's like an example, right?
Yeah. I mean, so anyway, but the drudgery, right? Like, that's the thing. It's like there are things in life that are just pure drudgery, right?
Yeah.
And like, I just want
emptying the dishwasher.
Yeah. No one wants to do that.
Pure drudgery.
It's so annoying. All I want to do is put these dishes in the dishwasher.
Yeah,
but
I can handle that part.
Because at first I have to empty it.
But the empty part, that's not good.
Uh-oh.
That's a good one. I like that. It's like the primary aim of my business is to keep me out of drudgery oriented tasks. And that's cool, because once you define that, then it's like, then that's your goal. So it's not like you're, you know, if it's not your goal, then it's just, a bad optimization or lack of efficiency or extra expenses, or, you know what I mean? It's just like,
yeah, there's some reason you can't reach your goal yet, but like, if you don't have the goal, then it's like you're just kind of wandering, you know?
Yeah. And the goal, it has to be, the goal has to be something unique and not just more money and more freedom, because it doesn't get at what you really want. And you could actually have what you really want, which is like, I don't know those things, but.
Yeah. But I mean, the like sort of like the things I enjoy most about like, my business and my current like position in the world is that like it's mostly relationship based.
Yeah, and that like, is really cool. You get to hang out with your friends all day.
Bouncing off of people is the shit, you know? And like yeah. anytime I can have an opportunity to like do something in a way that someone else enjoys is fun. Anytime I can have an opportunity to like create a way for me and someone else to do something together in like a chill and innovative way, that's fun. But like it, you know, like I have to like make the business happen to do all these things. So it's like, it still feels like I have to do drudgery in order to get to the things I really enjoy. Right.
Yeah.
And so it's like the end game is to like take me out of all the drudgery.
Yeah.
So that like the, I can just focus on like, and you know, that guy Dharmesh, I forget his last name, who is one of the founders of HubSpot.
No.
Do you know the guy I'm talking about?
No.
Okay. He's a cool and interesting dude, but he was one of the, so he was, I think this original CTO, one of the founders of HubSpot, worth $1 billion now, you know, he still works at HubSpot. But his job is that he gets to do whatever he wants. And he basically has like as much budget as he wants to do anything he wants in the business.
Hmm.
And he just kind of like wanders around and pulls engineers off of projects and says like, you're going to come with me and like hang out and we're going to do something kind of cool.
Yeah. That's what's up.
And so like he got interested in AI. So he like put together a little team to build out like HubSpot's AI stuff.
Yeah.
Cause he thought it was cool. And like, sometimes he's just doing nothing. Sometimes he's fucking playing badminton or whatever.
Yep.
But like every once in a while he gets like struck by the muse and he's like in this business where he's got like enough levers to pull that he can like make really cool things happen, you know?
Yeah.
Like, cause like the idea of like, I'm going to build a business and sell it and then have a pile of money, but no levers to pull.
Right.
Is kind of upsetting. Right.
True.
And I mean, obviously I think, I would probably start another thing that was more freedom oriented.
Yeah.
If I had a giant pile of money, you know, I'd be like, okay, well, like, how can I leverage this money to like build a less drudgery filled life for myself?
Yeah.
To like try again, you know?
Yep.
And like repeat until you've achieved drudgery nirvana or whatever. But who knows?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
But I've built a business I can't sell, so I'm
why?
I'm stuck. You can't sell an agency.
Oh.
I guess you can. But like,
yeah, you could. As long as it's a machine like, that doesn't involve you that generates revenue.
But it does.
No, but I mean if you could get it to a point where you can sub yourself out, then you could sell it. Or sell your portion of it to your partners. You know?
Yeah. I don't want to really right now. I just want to make it.
You got ways to go, but
I want to make it clean.
But you might want to.
I might want
to. You should want to.
I don't know that I will.
All right.
I think much more likely is that it will just stop being an agency.
Okay.
You know, and that we'll like find other revenue streams that aren't agency things.
Yeah.
But like keep the business.
I gotcha. Yeah. You know? At the base camp. Yeah. Okay. As I'm thinking about this more, Daniel, and your quest for freedom from drudgery, like I don't think I don't mind drudgery as much as you. I do mind it, but I'm actually currently in a phase of like getting good at drudgery and such. But I'm gonna change just so that the record shows. I think my new mission in business is to have as much fun as possible.
I think that's, I think that's what mine is too. It's just the more tired version because I feel pretty tired right now.
Okay.
You know.
But I just want to have fun. That's it. Like, isn't that what we want? Isn't that just what you want is to have fun? That's what I want for my life, like every day.
I kind of wish I had gotten to New York for their little Laravel New York
meetup.
Me too.
Because
John
back
and Chris
in Buffalo, like I might try to make the track.
Yeah, dude. John and Chris like had a great time. It sounds like John's talk was awesome. I was like, man, I want to hang out with all my friends in New York and do.
I know. And a meetup sounds so fun. Like just some like get some pizza and beer.
It's so stupid how like we're all not in the same place all the time.
That is so stupid. And we could have our dreams could be realized so much more quickly and easily if it were the case. However, it's not the case. And part of anti-fun for me is travel. And that sucks because if it wasn't part of that, then...
And you live mad far away from everything in the entire world.
No, I'm actually close to everything. You're far from everything.
What?
Yeah. In Buffalo?
What are you talking about?
I mean,
Buffalo's far from everything.
I'm six hour drive from the whole world. Like, I'm 6 hours from New York, Boston, 6 hours from Albany, 6 hours from New Jersey, 6 hours from Washington, D.C. I'm 6 hours from Baltimore. I'm 6 hours from all these places.
How can you be 6 hours from New York and 6 hours from Baltimore?
I'm pretty sure I am, dude. Okay, maybe New York, I'm seven.
Isn't New York between you and Baltimore?
Let me pull this up and verify.
Wouldn't you have to go through New York to get to Baltimore?
So let's say Baltimore, Maryland. If I hit directions and then I type in Buffalo, New York. Okay, you ready for this? Driving is 6 hours and 19 minutes. Okay. Now let me type in New York City. Okay. From Buffalo, 6 hours and 18 minutes.
I don't understand how this is possible.
Like, let me type in Washington, D.C. from Buffalo, New York is 7 hours and 1 minute.
Okay, cool. Thank God.
So at least, but still, dude, Washington, D.C. is pretty far. And it's only 7 hours. Like, all of these places. Boston, I'll be done after this. Boston, Massachusetts, I am 7 hours from. Detroit, Michigan. How far am I from Detroit? Less than five, 4.5 hours. Chicago, I'm 10 hours. You know, so anyway, I'm near everything. You're far from everything. I have direct flights. I can get to New York in an hour on a direct flight.
Yeah, I don't have direct flights. That's
I have direct flights
problem.
To Chicago, to Denver.
How far are
to
you from
Orlando?
Philly?
I think I'm a solid 6.5 from Philly. Let's see.
Yeah, it's
Philly,
a place, so probably 6 hours.
I'm 6 hours and 18 minutes because that's how far it takes to get to everywhere. That's how long it takes to get to everywhere. I'm 6 hours and 18 minutes. So anyway, so Daniel.
Philly's
thank you
the top of the list for us right now.
Oh, cool.
And like Philly's cool because it's like...
Oh, by the way, my time is up, but let's stretch it in another 2 minutes. Yeah.
This is like sort of a half episode. We should do a real episode sometime.
This is just warming up.
But yeah, we had to get back into it. It was cool.
Yeah.
Your time's up.
Yeah. Tell me, Philly.
Well, yeah, Philly's really cool because it's like, it's near everything. My family's all from Maryland. John and Jacob are both in New York. So like business, like I could be in New York in an hour on the train.
Nice.
Fucking Chris is in Philly. That's cool.
That's cool.
We've got some friends from here, Charlotte's good friends who are moving to Philly. So like we'll have Asheville friends in Philly.
Just being close to where's John Drexler's in New York City?
Yeah.
Just being close to him is like reason enough.
Yeah.
I'm if just he's like your whole business guy. Like
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I was talking to Ben Ornstein had his whole crew and then I think they all kind of dispersed. And that's a real bummer. But for a while there, that was like a big goal of his when he made Tuple was like, yeah, we're going to build software and it's going to be in person because I need to be with my homies. Like I need to be with them, which I think is really cool. And it's a bummer that he lost that, but he had it. And it's honestly worth me even considering, or it matters enough to me that I would consider like only hiring local people and training them in everything just so that I could have like homies, you know?
Yeah.
In Buffalo.
Dude, you should hiring someone and teaching them everything actually kind of
that's
rules.
Your thing. That is your thing. That's Daniel's unique contribution.
I'm so proud of what Jacob has started to become, you know?
Yeah.
Like he's just out here fucking writing code for a living.
I think I have to go.
Making it work.
Do you hear him?
Baby? Your boy is back.
I was given a 1 hour and it's like for real 1 hour and I was like for real 1 hour.
All right, cool. Well, okay. It's been 59 minutes and 31 seconds.
Oh.
So we should
say this slowly. The
outro.
Music. Do 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 do.